This morning, our scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. Let us listen as God speaks to us through his word. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have been differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? What shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Here ends the reading of God's word. And I would ask Gary to come up and give us the message that God has placed upon his heart.
Did you notice what when I got the memo today? Great praise songs this morning. We're selecting those. Thanks, Jake. Is that better? Great praise songs, whoever was selecting those today. The last one is one that I had requested. Was it familiar to you or new? New to most? We kind of learned that in COVID time, that song, or heard it first then. Great song. It spoke to my heart then. Every time I sing it, it speaks to my heart. But it was written with this in mind, that people would become more intentional in listening for the voice of God to speak when the Word of God was read and then proclaimed. So it was designed to be sung just before a sermon or after the sermon. And I was talking to Noreen and some in the booth. We're going to sing it again after communion as we move out of our online service and into our sharing time. So it's a tremendous song, one that we need to really take to heart in our lives and so on. It really is a prayer. if you notice that. And so we just will commit our time to the Lord this morning as we pray. Father, as we sing, speak, O Lord, as we come to you and as we come to your table this morning. We come to receive food from your holy word. Holy reminders of redemption that is provided for us in Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Obviously, today in our service, we are celebrating communion. I don't know through COVID if you have missed seeing communion ready for us when we come into church, and we got in the habit of just picking up the cup and the bread at the door and coming in. And that was good for COVID times, but maybe time to reshift our focus again and start thinking really about what we are doing when we come to this table. It's something that all churches do. It might be in a little different form with maybe a few differences in how we do it, but COVID really did change things in so many churches, and also with regard to how we celebrate the Lord's table. And sometimes in that approach, we maybe got kind of casual, or at least I feel that way sometimes, when it really is a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. That's why it's often called Holy Communion, but if you notice in most churches, the holy has fallen off, and it's just communion. No, it's a sacred thing. It's Holy Communion. And it's important for us to think about that, so we want to think about it a little bit today. Think first of all about the many names that it's been given. Communion, obviously. What else? The Lord's Supper. Maybe almost used simultaneously by us in our tradition, right? The Lord's Supper, that's true too. There's many other names. The breaking of bread. The Lord's table. The Eucharist, for some. Protestants don't always like that one so much, but that just means thanksgiving. And maybe other names as well. The love feast in the passage that we read. They were having a potluck, and as part of that potluck supper, as they gathered together, they celebrated the Lord's table. The agape, the love feast. The sharing together of what they had. Do you have a preference for the name? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Communion, which we traditionally call it, is not a word that is used in the New Testament. The idea is in the New Testament, but the word itself is not in the New Testament. And the Greek word that's the equivalent to the Latin from which we receive communion is koinonia, and it means fellowship, and it conveys the idea of participating together in something, sharing together, making a contribution. And so that's a good description for what we do as we come to the Lord's table. It's something we do together at the Lord's bidding. And that's why we call it a command or an ordinance of the church. There's also many different practices or forms that we follow. You're familiar with some, no doubt. We can come to an altar, or we can sit in pews. We can use a common cup, or we can use individual ones. Even in churches that use a common cup, individual ones became a little more prominent during the practice of COVID. The elements can be eaten separately, or they can be eaten together, inclusively. And you dip the bread in the cup and eat them together. We can use grape juice or wine. We can use unleavened bread or crackers or wafers or bread that's been cut up, and it could be a whole loaf, as is on our communion table. There's many different forms that we follow. Do you have a preference? many might have a preference. Maybe we should just practice it in different ways, and we have done that over the years in this church, many different kinds of ways. And just keeping us out of the rut of making this sacred thing a ritual, just an empty ritual. So maybe we should have variety. There's many different frequencies with which communion is celebrated in churches. Some practice it weekly. Would you like that? Would that be a preference? Some practice it monthly. Usually the first Sunday of the month. Some churches maybe the second Sunday of a month. Some practice it quarterly. And all of them may practice it at other special times of the year as well. There are many different frequencies. Do you have a preference? Does it matter? There's many different meanings that get added and traditions that get added to explain what it is we're doing. Theological thoughts of transubstantiation or consubstantiation come into this play. But when we start to strip away all of the external things, all those thoughts that people have added, and we clearly hear Jesus speak, he reminds us in the New Testament that there is one basic meaning, one basic challenge, one basic message. What is it? Remember me. Remember me. That's so important because we are so forgetful. We are so neglectful of sacred things. And we need the reminder. And that's why he has shared with us this table. We, in our distractions, just sometimes get casual and click and careless about our practice. But what do we remember here at this table? What do we remember here about Jesus? What do we remember? We remember that his body was given and his blood was shed. His body was given, not as frequently as said at communion, broken, because the scripture text does not say that. He broke bread and he said, "This is my body given for you." And that's important because he's telling us it was a voluntary, intentional action that he was taking. His body was given. His blood was shed as a sacrifice for our sin. But we also remember why this had to be. And why did it have to be? It had to be because our sin had separated us from God completely, utterly. We are dead in our sin. We are enslaved by our sin. We are doomed because of our sin, Paul writes to the Ephesians. We cannot help ourselves. And in that passage of Ephesians, saying those things about our sin, he then says, But God. God graciously provides the way of escape for us. And Jesus is that way, the one and only way. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is one name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, that of Jesus. God graciously provides the way of escape, and Jesus is that way. And only in him do we find forgiveness and cleansing and spiritual life. So every time we come to this table, we are remembering that here is a picture of salvation, the salvation that is God the Father's eternal plan. Did you catch that in the praise song this morning? It was there. Eternal plan. And the Father sent Jesus, God the Son. And he willingly came to fulfill that plan. And God the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father and the Son, takes that accomplished salvation, redemption, and he applies it to our lives and our living. And he does it by bringing our souls awake to God. The Puritan brothers of history talked about this awakening of the soul. As God gives us a desire, inclining our thoughts toward him, and thus we're enabled to respond to him by faith. And it's his faith, and it's his gift. So you see, the names we give to what we celebrate today, the forms that we practice, the frequency with which we celebrate may vary, but the message never changes. It never varies. Communion is a living sermon. It's a dramatic way of keeping the memory of Jesus and his work alive for us when we're so forgetful. It's a way of keeping Jesus very present in our line of vision as we look at the top of the yardstick. And we do it until he returns and we're with him forever. Did you catch that in the praise songs this morning? Thank you for them again. They were right on for communion today. It's a living sermon. And we also need to say then, communion is not for everyone. It's exclusive in that it is only for those who have personally acknowledged Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior and Lord, for those who have a living, life-changing relationship with him. It is inclusive in that it is for all Christians to come, no matter what their background, no matter what their denomination, no matter what their spiritual state in their struggles and their difficulties and their challenges. It's open for every Christian. But even when we do know him, even when we are trusting him, we are not to come casually. We're not to come routinely. Oh, it's communion week again. We are not to come out of habit or quickly or carelessly or thoughtlessly. Because this is not a routine ritual. It is a sacred remembering, a sacred aspect of worship. And so we're to come. Did you catch it in the reading? We are to come with a thoroughly examined heart, lest we eat or drink of the elements in an unworthy manner and are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We come intentionally examining ourselves, not judging others, not going, oh, they shouldn't be eating communion, but I'm so spiritual, I'm okay. No, we look at our own heart. And we judge ourselves before we come, and we judge ourselves in light of God's word because we are standing in his presence. And we don't come alone. Even though each of us has to examine our hearts, we don't come alone. We don't come as isolated individuals. We come together with others in the family of God, in the church of God. Recent research asked Canadians, is the nature of religion personal or communal? How would you respond? Most Canadians responded, it's personal. It's my own business. And the word that the researchers used was, Canadians have decoupled their faith, their spirituality, from any link to others or institutional forms or shapes. Are you one of those? That's why many, even though they're able, don't present themselves in live service, public worship. They're happy to be online. You know, we couldn't be more wrong about that. That survey, Canadians couldn't be more wrong. It's this table that reminds us that it's not an either-or issue. It's not personal or communal. It's personal and communal. It's both simultaneously. And we do come personally. But that's not exactly the same as individually, isolated individual. We come together to a family meal, remembering Jesus, our Redeemer. When Jesus says of the bread, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Drink from it, all of you." He actually uses a Greek plural for you. And that means each and every one and all of you together. It's not something we do alone. It's a together thing, a family thing. And when we come this way, we find that our heart reflection and our soul preparation enables us to truly remember Jesus with holy joy and with genuine thanksgiving and with obedient devotion. And that should be always our desire as we come to this table. So this morning we want to take a quiet moment now to examine our own hearts honestly before the Lord. Maybe you knew the sermon was about communion today because you checked the bulletin online or something and you started to prepare your heart. That's great. Maybe you just saw stuff when you came in and you started to prepare your heart. Maybe you haven't done that yet. So we want to take a quiet moment to examine our own hearts as we come to this table, looking at ourselves honestly before the Lord, thinking about what it is we're doing and why we're doing it, and realizing that this is an important and sacred part of our worship. And then in a few moments, we'll come together as a family, a community of believers in Christ, to share the elements. We're using the same cups we used through COVID, so you'll be served that by some of the leaders of the church. And they remind us of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and will come to remember him and his sacrifice for us and for all of us together as part of his church. So let's just pray quietly, and those who are serving will come, and in a moment we will serve the elements of the Lord's table. Father, I thank you for this reminder of Jesus, our Redeemer, and the great salvation that is ours in him. All by grace. All through faith. His faith, his gift of faith. Help us today to come and to participate honestly, intentionally, clearly hearing you speak to us about our needs, but more about your incredible provision for these needs. Bless us as we honestly examine ourselves and as we share together, participating together in the eating of these two elements of this, your holy table. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We will be leaving you as we sing this last song. You're coming to Sherry. Who's leading Sherry? Who leads Sherry?
Won't you please join us?
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. May your truth plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Gary, I think we've forgotten a few things, so I'm going to do some announcements before you end it, please. I don't want to shirk my duties here. I guess I was supposed to pray earlier. So let's bow our heads in prayer as we pray to the Almighty God. Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As you told Moses how you should be called, I am. That sums it all up. You are everything, God. You are everything that we need and more. You're the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the savior. What else can I say? Thank you for your mercy upon us. You don't give us what we do deserve, but instead you choose to give us grace, a gift that we do not deserve, not even one of us, for we are all sinners. I just thank you so much for all you do for us, all you are and everything. And I pray for those who are suffering in any way, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and lots of ways that we don't even think of. Loneliness, and on and on. There are a lot more suffering people out there than any of us realize. Me, anyway, I take a lot of things for granted. And I think we all take things for granted here in this country we live in called Canada. For we have things better than most in this whole world. And we need to stop and give thanks. For we are blessed. But we are also a fallen country. We're fallen away from you, God. So I pray on behalf of every man, woman, and child all over the whole world, for that matter, please grant us the one bit of wisdom that we all need to know, and that is that we need you. There isn't one, not one, on this earth that does not need you, but there are very few that know that. Please grant us that one little bit of wisdom that we may come to you. And I also call out on behalf of this nation and on behalf of our leaders. Please, God, bring us back to you, for we are a long ways from you. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. A lot of us read your word, and we think the people who are recorded in your word are extraordinary. They are not. The only thing that's extraordinary about them is when your Spirit comes upon them and they are used for your perfect purpose. And there's nothing that they cannot do when your Spirit is upon them. But we, since Christ, the last 2,000 years plus, we as believers have been blessed with your Holy Spirit who resides in us at all times. Please remind me, please remind all of us that there is nothing, nothing that is impossible for you, and you reside within each and every one of us as believers. Please use us that people would see you and not us. Just as you see your son Jesus, you don't see us. When you look at us, you see him. That one imperfect sacrifice. I also like to mention our pastoral search committee. Please be with them as they continue to hear your voice and your leading into who you want to lead this congregation. And I also ask that you would be with all of us as church leaders. We don't have the ability on our own, God. I don't have the ability on my own. Please help us to follow your leading. Just as that little illustration I had this morning, if we focus on you, you keep us upright and true and balanced and everything that we need. And thank you for pastors like Pastor Gary that is willing to allow you to speak through them to us. We just give you all thanks and praise. And in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Sorry, I can't help but get emotional. I'm also going to just highlight a couple of announcements here. After church today, we have the monthly celebration for all those who are celebrating any birthdays in the month of May. So please join us in the fellowship room as we have coffee and dessert or tea or whatever you like. As well, we have men's breakfast coming up on May the 20th, so mark it on your calendar. We had a pretty good group out the last time. We're starting to build those numbers again, so it's a good time. I don't think there's anything. Oh, there's one more thing I was asked to mention. The flowers in the sanctuary today are from the funeral yesterday of Stephen Fry. So we appreciate those to brighten up our sanctuary, and we keep them, the family of Stephen Fry, in our thoughts and prayers. And I'm going to pass it over to you, Gary, and you can, do you have a benediction? All right. No, you can go ahead and do it. I've run out of steam.
Dan said, don't forget the sharing, because he'd forgotten the last time, I guess, and some of you must have complained. I don't know. So are there any things that you wish to share?
I just want to commend Gary Smith for picking a wife who has the same birthday as his, and in that way, he only has to celebrate one time. Now, talk about economical. What a great example, Gary. Thank you.
I don't know how loudly people can shout.